Welcome to a special edition of I Can Ship It. I am Ashley. Annette is doing some things right now, so she has blessed me with the responsibility to record an episode by myself. I didn't want to do that, so I decided, I was like, yo, I got friends. I'm going to ask a friend to come and talk to me about whatever we decide to talk about. So today, I have a friend of mine who is probably one of the more badass females I know on the planet, and her name is Emma Von Ryan. Emma, give a shout out to the people.
Excited to be on here, and cool. I'm along for the ride. I can ship it ride.
Cool. All right, so you know, we've had episodes in the past where we talked about conventions, how both me and Annette love to go to conventions, and one of the larger ones that we go to is Klexicon in Las Vegas. And so my first year was 2018. Annette's first year, I believe, was also 2018. We didn't meet up in 2018, but in 2019, I'm sorry, we met in 2018 and then hit it off. And then, you know, talked for about a year, just kind of hanging out, talking, shooting shit. And then 2019, we're like, all right, we're going to do it big. We're going to go, like, we're going to go a couple of days. So she went at least 2 days before it started. I showed up about a day before. And we were like, yo, we're going to go. We're going to have a great time. It's going to be a blast, right? And Annette brought her friend Natalie, who I had met at 2019's KlexCon. We hit it off. And then, you know, we were just one night, ironically, one night, we were hanging out at a bar in the host hotel. Me and Annette were sitting there. We're just talking, you know, again, our normal bullshit, just talking away, not really paying attention to our surroundings for the most part. And we started talking about, I don't know. We talked about a bunch of stuff. Like, we were talking about Buffy. We were talking about person of interest. I mean, pretty much anything you can think of, we were probably talking about at that time. And we were drinking, so that definitely helps. But, and there was this girl, woman, sitting on the catty corner to where we were sitting. And she chimes in and she's like, oh my gosh, I love person of interest too. And thus, the saga, the friendship saga, began, because that person was actually Emma, who was sitting catty corner to the bar. Like, thinking back on it, were you just sitting there chilling, or were you waiting for somebody? Were you waiting for Tam?
No, I think she was doing her own thing, and I was just at the bar. And then I just overheard you guys talking. And I think it was actually maybe you were talking about Grey's Anatomy and how you stopped watching it after the plane crash.
Oh yeah, that's probably something I did say.
And then. Just thought, okay, that's my way to kind of, oh yeah, so okay, and just talk crazy stuff.
I'm pretty friendly, and Annette's pretty friendly too, so it wasn't, I mean, here's the thing, like, when you go to KlexCon, and if you stay at the host hotel, you know, there's people everywhere, and you know, and you can tell who's there for the con and whatever, but you know, Emma's just sitting there, and I mean, y'all can't see her, but Emma is tall, like, she looks like she could cut you, so I scoped her out. She's not, you know, she ain't bothering nobody, so I didn't think nothing of it, and continued to have my conversation with Annette. But when Emma chimed in, we were like, oh shit, she's actually badass and a nerd. So we were like, this is awesome. It just always cracks me up where, like, people will, like, chime in on a conversation and they don't really know, you know, what they're talking about. That's, like, one of my ultimate pet peeves. It's like, why did you jump in if you don't have anything to contribute? At first, you're kind of like, okay, is this chick actually going to know anything about what we're talking about? More than likely, yes, because, you know, she's there for the convention and, you know, okay. But you don't know. I mean, there's a bunch of different people in Vegas. You really don't know what you're going to get. And Emma chimed in and actually had brought something to the table. So then Emma starts talking to us. So the three of us are just having a ball, talking about nerdy crap. And, you know, and then, like, throughout the convention, we kept, you know, hanging out, running into each other, went to panels together. You know, we did a bunch of things, like, just enjoyed the weekend. Another friend of ours, Yanni, shout out to Yanni, we ended up meeting up with her too. And she's just as big of a nerd as we are. So it kind of worked out, you know, for when you go to conventions, you know, you never know who you're going to meet, and be open, you know, if you're comfortable with that, like, be open to meeting new people, because, you know, shit, we've been friends now for, what was it, 2019? So We've been friends for 2 years. Can you believe that? We've been friends for 2 years and we met at a convention. Yeah. Like,
yeah, random.
Just crazy. Random. Yeah. Random people. And like, what's crazy is like, fate is a very interesting thing, because had we not have been talking about what we were talking about, you might not have even said anything. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it was just one of the, we could have been talking about the weather and you would have been like, okay, this is boring. I'm not paying attention to anything of what they're saying. Not to mention, y'all use Celsius. We use Fahrenheit. So, like, you know, so that's the whole thing. So, like, weather is like, we can't even really talk about the weather, because that involves conversion on my part. And I can't convert to save my life from Fahrenheit to Celsius. So it's like, yeah. For those of you that don't know, Emma's from Australia. So there's, you know, massive time difference in our conversations. It's interesting, to say the least. It makes our friendship very interesting. So, but I really appreciate you coming on and hanging out with me for a little bit on your Saturday afternoon,
Yeah.
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 Your Saturday afternoon, my Friday night. So let's just go ahead and get into it. Emma, tell the people a little bit about yourself.
So I am obviously from Australia. I'm an MMA fighter, and yeah, basically the last 5 years I was like from a desk job. Now I'm like a martial artist, fighting, coaching, yeah, traveling, training. That's my life basically. So
cool.
Yeah.
So obviously you're a busy woman. When you're not traveling, training, fighting, just being a badass, what, like we said, you are nerdy, so we're going to get to the nerdy stuff. What are some of your favorite shows, movies that you are just like, these are like my things. Like, I have to, this is my comfort shows and movies, like your favorite things. Like, just rattle off a few for me. What you got?
Okay. Like, obviously, there's all of the, I think, the cliche ones, like, you know, grew up with the L word when I was like in year 10. So grew up with the L word. That's probably like the major, like, if you want to go into shipping and, you know, reflecting of our culture and being in the queer community. Mm-hmm. So that can be like the new season of Roswell's out. I'm really into that right now.
Okay.
I obviously love my Grey's Anatomy, even though you stopped watching.
I'm sorry, not sorry. Grey's Anatomy should not still be on the air. I'm sorry. It should not. Okay. It has been going on too long, but all right. That's your show. I ain't gonna trash it too much, but even still.
Yeah, you can't help it. but yeah, so yeah, you got Roswell. The new season is out. It's really awesome. It's really very much like gender fluid in the relationships, which I really love. Are you a succubus or a
Valcubus? So you're Lost Girl affiliated. Succubus, okay.
Or a Valcubus?
Docubus all the way. For those who love Valcubus, that's fine. You know, whatever, do you. But personally, I thought Docubus was better. That's just my opinion. Whatever. I know Annette is a big time Valcubus person too. I mean, she likes both, you know, and that's very neutral. She likes both, but she loves the actress. Oh, shoot. She's going to kill me. I can't remember her name right now. Oh, damn. What's her name? The blonde. What's her name?
Yeah. She's out of the new Batwoman.
Yeah, I know.
Rachel
Scarston. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. And that literally is going to be like, what the heck, dude? Like, how did you not remember that? I did. You know what? I worked all day today. All right. My brain is fried. Like, she loves Rachel Scarsdale, so Valcubus is like a big thing for her. But she also appreciated Docubus too. I personally think Docubus had better chemistry. That's my opinion. Where are you at? Are you Docubus? You team Valcubus?
Yeah, I feel Docubus as well. Like, they're kind of like the end game, you know? Mm-hmm. Whereas like her little vacation over to Valkyrie Land was just like just that, a little vacay.
Yeah. I mean, Lauren did some shady stuff, so I get it, you know, but at the same time, like, devil's advocate, it's like, okay, so you're in love with a succubus and she gonna do what she gonna do, right? So I see both sides. Like, I see the fact that Bo is Bo and she has to do what she gotta do to survive, and yes, some feelings get involved. But then at the same time, it's like, I see why she kind of not like went away from Lauren, because Lauren, like I said, did a lot of shady stuff. The first season, she was spying for old dude. And then she basically like sleeps with Bo to essentially get her to not go to whatever the big battle was for the end of the season. And, you know, that's shitty. Like, let's be honest. That's pretty crappy. So it's like, all right, I get that. And then they kind of had roller coaster throughout the entire run of the show. And then, but I do appreciate the fact they didn't end up together at the end of it. Yeah, I would have appreciated, you know, not as much of a roller coaster. I get it. You know, it makes for good TV, I guess.
Yeah, it's just one of those things that just had to happen, right?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I feel like sometimes though, like drama for drama's sake is not always the best thing. I feel like some drama has to be like earned. Like I said, like the whole thing with Lauren sleeping with Bo and spying, you know, for spying for the powers that be. It's like, okay, that is drama. Yeah. And that's, you know, rightfully so. So I get that part. But like some of the other stuff, I was just like, and then like the whole Bo Dyson thing, I wasn't a fan. I was okay with it. I was good with it. If it was there, I was good with it without being there. You know what I mean? I'm neutral about it. I don't know. Like, what did you think as far as Bo Dyson?
You know, like now that we're talking about it, because obviously when you're shipping and when you've got your, you know, the two women that you want to be together and they are together and then one goes with a man, you're like, what? Mm-hmm. Like, why? You know?
Yeah.
But it's funny because, like I said, now we're talking about it, it's almost like that whole dynamic of relationships is, you know, reflective of, if you want to be, is it, not that I have much knowledge of it, but like a polyamorous relationship. Like for like you said, like for Bo, it's about that sex. Like it's not necessarily about that person. Some of the time it is, but then other times it's like, okay, I have a need and you can fulfill that need for me, but it's not. You know what I mean? Like I have a relationship with you and I have one with you and I have one with you. So I felt like that was quite a, I would say, progressive thing, because was quite like, how many years ago was Lost Girl?
Shoot,
in 2010.
Yeah.
Five seasons. Yeah. Of them.
Yeah. So wow. Dang. God, I can't believe that's been that long ago, but I think you're right. Like you brought up a good point about how progressive it was. So for people who don't know, Lost Girl is a Canadian based show about a succubus who doesn't know she's a succubus and finds out she's a succubus. And that this whole, there's this whole secret world of, you know, these mythological type creatures that live among us. Right. And, it's done by Emily Andrus, who did Wynonna Earp. So, and this was before Wynonna Earp. So it's kind of funny. Like if you go back and like watch Lost Girl, because like literally my belief is Canada has 5 actors and actresses. And so, like, they just, like, rotate through their shows. And Lost Girl, you will see people from Wynonna Earp on Lost Girl. Matter of fact, Doc Holliday, Rosen, who plays Doc Holliday, is in Lost Girl. And he's such a little bitch. Like, it's, you think about it, like, his character from Lost Girl, and then you're thinking about, like, okay, he's this cool, you know, Doc Holliday, you know, badass mofo Doc Holliday. And then you go back and you watch that, and you're like, dude, talk about a come up, because you were a little bitch in Lost Girl. So they, Emily Andrus did it. So, you know, obviously you recognize good talent. You work with good talent. I can't begrudge you that. But I just think it's funny that they literally have like 5 actors and actresses. You know, Lost Girl was definitely ahead of its time, because even like the sex scenes and stuff, it was very equal across the board, gay, straight, whatever. It was still very, and it was tastefully done too. Like, not, it wasn't like gratuitous and like, you know, sometimes it can just be like, okay, what is the point of this? Like, it's not invoking the feelings you think it's going to invoke. And so it's just kind of cringy.
And it had a purpose.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't mind sex scenes that have a purpose. Like, if it's just, like I said, if it's just a sex scene just to be gratuitous, then I don't care. Like, I'm like, why is it there? But if it actually is meaningful and like it leads to, you know, advancing the story, I'm cool with it. Like like I said, gay, straight or whatever, I don't care. As long as it makes sense. Like, as long as stuff makes sense to me, I'm good with it. When it just starts, you just start throwing random crap in there, I'm done. Like, I don't want to be bothered with it. Or, well, I take it back. I watch a lot of TV shows. I don't stick with them very long, because if stuff starts to not make sense to me, I'm out. I'm done. Ships aside, okay, who is your favorite character on the show?
The Morgan.
Morgan was cool. Morgan was very cool.
Yeah, so the actress, Emmanuel, I think her last name is like Vega or something. Mm. But she was like like you said, the Canadian act, like the Canadian, like, you know, when you know, like lately I've been watching it, I'm like, oh, they must be shooting in Canada because.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, right. But I really loved her, like, and in a lot of like the movies that she was in as well, like, I was just like, oh my God, it's her. Like,
yeah.
I just had I had a bit of a crush on her for a bit.
I mean, that's fair.
And she was in that, like, and then her, like, with Anna Steele, and I was like,
oh yeah,
this is some intriguing, like, you know, exchanges happening, and I was like, okay, like other ship non-ship was them too.
That's fair. That's a good one, actually. And like I you said Emmanuel, I can't think of her last name right now, I don't even remember how to pronounce it. But what's funny is, like, you know how when you watch other Canadian things and you look up and you see ones that you recognize from other shows or movies or whatever? That's what happened with Lost Girl. I recognized Emmanuel from something completely different from Lost Girl. And I was like, I know her from somewhere. Like, what? Where am I? Oh, and I was literally driving my head through a wall trying to remember what show or movie it was. And I was like, okay. Like you said, that was kind of the revelation that Canada had. I think it was it Smallville? I think so. Because I know Smallville was filmed in Vancouver or Toronto. Like, yeah, it was filmed in Vancouver. And I think she was on Smallville for like a hot second for, you know, Monster of the Week or whatever.
I don't even think about. Okay, yeah. Let me just have a
look. Was it Smallville?
Yeah, she was in there.
I
feel like she played like a villain of some sort in that show.
Yeah, like she was like one of the Monsters of the Week or something like that from Smallville. Because I know Smallville filmed up there. You know, the OG L Word filmed up there, but she wasn't on there. What else? I mean, most of like, you know, the CW shows back in the day all filmed in Canada, which I think some of them even still do today. But so I'm pretty sure she was on Smallville, and I recognized her when I watched Lost Girl. And I liked the fact that, like, her entrance, you know, like when you first meet the Morgan, is very like just disruptive, especially since what was that guy's name? The good Fae leader. What was his name? I'm gonna have to pull out some Google. I don't remember.
Oh, is it Hale? No.
He was the counterpart to the Morgan. He was the light.
The Ash.
The Ash. Thank you. You would think I would remember that, but okay. Yeah. But like, cause like when you have like the Ash, you know, like Ash was a very cool, calm, collected when he's introduced, and then the Morgan is just disruptive. But I like the fact that she was very much in charge. Like, it wasn't, you know what I mean? Like, usually with women, it's not, especially back then, like, you didn't really have, like, strong female villains, to be honest. I mean, there's, like, you know, a handful here and there, but, like, really and truly, they didn't really command the same kind of respect or bravado that male characters did. And in Lost Girl, that was one thing. One thing you can say about Emily Andrus is she appreciates, you know, strong female characters and makes it to where it doesn't, like, the men aren't obsolete, you know, like they still carry the same kind of thing, but it's like an even field. You know what I mean? Like, and the Morgan, she was very much like that. Like, she was the leader of the Dark Fae and commanded the same kind of respect, you know, if not more in some situations, like the Ash did. So, even though I will say she did get a little, I don't want to say weak, but weak is the only word I can think about right now. She did get a little weak and wussy towards the end of the show, and not even counting when she lost her powers, but like when, when Bo was kind of doing her thing, like, don't get me wrong, Bo is very powerful and all that jazz. And rightfully so, we get it. But I just feel like the Dark Fae kind of fell apart, because you remember, like, the first season, really the first two seasons, they were very much like the light, they weren't afraid of them, but it was very much like, okay, if these fools decide to pop off, like, it's going to be the war of wars. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
I feel like as the seasons progressed, they kind of lost some of that. And I didn't really care for that too much. And like when the Morgan lost her powers, mind you, good story because Lauren was responsible for it. But I don't know. I just feel like I feel like the Morgan made some decisions that somebody who's been alive that long, she wouldn't fall for some of the bullshit, if that makes any sense. So, but you know, my thoughts. But she was cool.
Yeah.
Morgan was very cool.
I guess too, you know, as much as they were playing like supernatural characters in the way, mm-hmm. it's kind of just saying, well, at the core of everyone, somewhat human, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, that's deep.
No, but I agree with you what you said about what, because I guess that whole, you know, do I pick the light or do I pick the dark? Like, I'm in the middle. Like, I don't know mm-hmm. who I'm supposed to be with. But I guess too, like when you said about the Morgan, that she was that powerful. And even though she represented the dark fae, even like to me, even though she represented the dark fae, it was like, but I still wanted her to, like, you know, you still were kind of rooting for her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, and I think that goes to like what you're saying with Emily about how she creates all these strong characters, because the three of them, her, Bo and Lauren, like they were like on all different sides of this like magical community, mm-hmm. but you all wanted them to like succeed somehow. Like you mm-hmm. didn't really think, oh no, they're the evil one, or, you know, you get that whole,
yeah,
the audience like rooting for them, even though they're supposed to depict like the darkness or the light.
Yeah.
But maybe we all have it. Everything, we all have each one.
I mean, it's true. We do. There's, you know, two sides of the same coin. There's light and dark, and people have both. But like you said, her character, the Morgan, you were right. Like I never rooted against the Morgan. Like, you know how like when you have the villain and you're like, dude, they suck. Like,
yeah.
You know, rah! But in her case, it's kind of like, no, I honestly can't say that I genuinely was like, nope, you know, write her off. She's the bad guy. I'm done kind of deal. And like, I mean, if you think about it, kind of because we follow Bo's perspective, you kind of see both sides as not being the best option, you know? And I appreciate that in writing because, you know, the normal formula for any television show or movie is you fight, you know, you root for the good guys, you want the bad guys, you know, to fail, and good guys always win. And the world is not like that in real life, but I appreciate, you know, elements of reality in fiction. And the fact that I personally can't genuinely say that I rooted against the dark fae, like really the only bad guy on that show that I was like, yeah, he can go, was Bo's father. Like that was it. Like out of all, you know, minus the monsters of the week kind of deal, like there, that was really the only character I was like, yeah, no, I'm good, he can roll out.
Yeah,
that's really it. Yeah. Like I can't think of, I mean, can you think of any villain on that show where you're just like, yeah, I'm good, you can go?
No, like, you know, the obviously like the monster of the week, and they had to solve that, you know, whatever was happening in the human world. But yeah, he's probably the main one, I reckon.
I honestly can't think of a villain on that show that I was like, yeah, besides him. I do like plot twist. I do like the fact, do you remember when they introduced the Olympians, like the Olympic, the Greek gods, and Zeus ended up in the body of a woman, like blonde hair, mm-hmm. like short blonde haired woman? I thought that was an interesting plot twist. I actually appreciated that they did that instead of, you know, putting him in, you know, a dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Muscular. You know, a good looking muscular guy. So I was like, that's an interesting approach. And I like the fact that they didn't shy away from acknowledging the fact that he was a dude trapped in a woman's body and then just accepting it. Like at one point he was like, okay, clearly it's not going to, nothing's going to happen, I'm stuck. And then it was just kind of like cool with it. And continue to like dress her like how a woman would actually dress. Cause like, you know, a lot of times when they have the like body swapping, the men don't dress like how a woman would potentially dress. You know, like, they're just like, you know, shorts and a t-shirt, like baggy, you know, basketball shorts and t-shirt, which nothing wrong with that. I'm literally wearing that right now. But like, you know what I mean? Like, a lot of times you can tell that it's not the person that's supposed to be in the body. You know what I mean? And I like the fact that Zeus like accepted it and was like, okay. And Zeus had fashion sense. So he had her wearing, you know, pencil skirts and, you know, all these different type of fashionable items that no man, no straight man, I should say, no straight man would pick out. Like, that's not going to happen. So I thought that was actually pretty funny that Emily interested it like that. Cause I was like, you know, now that you think about it, there is a stereotype that anytime there's a body, male body swap into a female, they always like, you know, dress like crap and essentially just
dress like a man still.
Yeah. They're still, they're like, they're dressed like a dude and not in a good way. It's just like, this fits, you know, like kind of deal.
Another strong female character.
Yeah. Yeah. Which the twist that they actually did that. Because then wasn't Hera? Hera was a man, right? I'm pretty sure Hera was actually put into the body of a man, or like her human host died and then she had to jump and the only one that was available was a dude, if I remember correctly. So yeah, they again, there's that swap of, instead of following the status quo, you know, they flipped it on its head and was like, all right, we're gonna put Zeus in a female body and then put Hera in a male body, which, I mean, it still worked, but it was just interesting because, you know, normally TV, again, especially back then, like, they didn't, it's amazing, like, you think back on, like, how much Lost Girl kind of changed the game a little bit, you know, and you can kind of tell, I could fairly say that Lost Girl is probably one of the matriarchs, if you will, of the writing of strong female characters moving forward. Like, from 2010 to like now, if you look at, you know, filmography of really anything, you can see that steady change. You know what I mean? Like, because if you think about it, you had Lost Girl that came out in 2010. I'm trying to think what else. You know, a few years later, you had Wynonna Earp, of course, but Lost Girl. I don't know. Do you ever watch the show Rookie Blue? Did you ever watch that?
Rookie Blue. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Rookie
Blue.
Show, yeah. Yeah, the
cop show.
Yes, again with Canadians. but Rookie Blue, which was mostly centered around Andy, which she's a female character, you know, female lead that wasn't necessarily. I mean, I personally thought Andy was a little soft, but she wasn't the standard, you know, damsel in distress, you know, bullshit that you see most of the time. Yeah, Rookie Blue had come out. I'm trying to think what else. 2010, surprisingly, was a long time ago. Rookie Blue.
Yeah, tell me about it.
Yeah, what else came out during the last 10 years that, besides, like, you know, your superhero type movies? I don't know. Like,
I'm not too sure, but in saying that, like, also, like, if you wanted to go even more deeper in a way, like, Bo, she'd be like the first bisexual superhero. In that supernatural, like, genre, she didn't care. It wasn't like a thing. It was just like, oh, I like Lauren. I like, you know, the werewolf guy, you know, I like both. So it didn't really have, you know, that big, like, when people are like struggling with their identity in like superhero movies and stuff like that whole cliche, that didn't really factor into it. It was just like, am I good or am I not? Like, so I really liked how they portrayed that. And then you were saying with like Rookie Blue, I actually got into that show because I saw fan videos of the two girls. I think it was
Gail and,
I think it was the mall Gail, girl. So like Gail I got into that. Yeah. I think it was Holly.
That's
Holly,
right.
In it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I got into that show because people had made like the ship videos of them. And I was like, oh my God, this is so good. And just the chemistry I really loved. And then I was like, okay, I'll wait four seasons for this. to happen. And then in Rookie Blue, you have the actress. Yeah.
Charlotte Sullivan.
Like, no, I got to keep strong. I have to keep watching it, guys. Yeah. Yeah, Charlotte, I loved her. And then in that same Rookie Blue, you got Priscilla. Her, I think her cast name, her character name was Chloe.
Yeah.
And then she was in that new show, You, Me, Her.
You, Me, and Her. I never, so, I didn't think anybody else watched that I knew. Like, that's actually a pretty decent show. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
And again, like polyamory and like having a throuple and, you know, very kind of, maybe Canada is a bit more progressive.
I mean,
so coming out of Canada.
Yeah. I mean, Canada kind of is already, I mean, compared to the US, absolutely. That's cool. I never actually watched like the full, I mean, I've watched a few episodes, like full episodes, but you know, YouTube's a powerful thing. So a lot of times you just watch, you know, fan made stuff, which sometimes is better than the actual, the actual show itself.
Yes.
But I thought I was like the only person besides obviously YouTube that knew about You, Me, Her. And like you said, Canada is very progressive. But like harking back to what you said about Bo kind of being like, you know, the first, I feel like if you think about, you know, the cons that we've gone to, so like LexCon, for example, which I think, was she there that year? Or was it 28? No, it was 2018.
I think it was the year before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was 2018 when Anna Silk was there. Dude, funny story enough. So I was walking, that was my first con, and I was walking to, I guess, one of the panel rooms or something, and I was looking down at my phone because I had a map of kind of where everything was and everything. And in 2018, it was a little more chaotic. There was just bodies everywhere. Like, as far as like how, you know, the artists and stuff were like getting in and out of everybody's, like they still had that big ballroom that they were in, but like it just was a little more chaotic than 2019. So I'm like walking and I'm looking down at my phone and looking at this map, trying to figure out where I'm going. And all of a sudden I like shoulder check somebody. And I, you know, of course, you know, naturally you're like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. Like you just, you know, I'm a nice person. Like my bad. I have broad shoulders to begin with. So I know it had to have hurt a little bit. And like, I look up and I'm looking at Anna Silk dead in her face. And I'm like, oh my God. Like out of all the people in this place that I could possibly potentially injure. Cause like Anna Silk is very little. Like she is a very little woman. Like I didn't realize how small she was. Cause, you know, obviously, you know, TV, you got angles and, you know, heels and all that stuff. So you don't realize how big or small somebody is, unless they're like really tall, you really can't tell, you know? But I didn't realize Anna was that short. Like she was about my height, maybe a little taller than me, but not by much. And just, she's tiny. And like, and I'm like, oh my gosh, my meaty shoulder just like socked her like a linebacker. And I'm like, oh my God. Like, I was like, I'm so, so sorry. And she was super nice about it. She was like, no, it's okay. Like, you know, it's kind of crowded. And she said something like, it's like kind of crowded in here. No big deal. And then, you know, that was the exchange. But I was like, you gotta be kidding me, man. Like, out of all the people, this is the person that I end up shoulder checking. And it wasn't, I mean, it was technically my fault, but like, it, like I said, there was just people everywhere and it was just super crowded because like in 2019, what they kind of did, I think better, was when they had the actors or actresses, when they were moving them from like, you know, the panel room to their, you know, their rooms or whatever they were doing, like, they kind of went a back way in 2019, but in 2018, they walked through the convention. So they were like pretty much on the convention floor and walked through the floor. And then in 2018, the line situation was very different than 2019. So lines and stuff. So you know how you come down that escalator and then you come down the escalator and then you know, walk a little bit and then you're on the, you know, floor. So at one point there was lines that lined up out there. And I want to say, was it the shoot panel? I can't remember. It was one of the bigger panels. So the line was like wrapped around and kind of in that hallway. Plus you had people coming in. And, I mean, it was a mess. Like it literally was a mess. So if you didn't hit somebody, you know, with your shoulder, you were very blessed because there was just people everywhere. But they, you know, definitely rectified the situation in 2019. But yeah, I'll never forget that. That was my fan interaction, was partially shoulder checking Anna Silk walking through the convention nice. Area. Yeah. So, but you know, like I feel like Bo doesn't get as much credit for her, I guess, I don't want to say historical run, but like compared to like some of the other stuff, like, you know, yes, you talk about the L word all the time. Like that is a big one. I mean, it is, it's a big deal. You know, Clexa, which was the whole reason for KlexaCon, like that's a big one that started, you know, the fight to get rid of the, you know, the barrier tropes situation. So I get that, like they're big and they're important in their own ways, but I really feel like Lost Girl doesn't get as much attention, and Bo, just as a character in general, gets as much recognition, I should say, for their contribution to, you know, progressive television. Like I feel like,
do you feel because it was so long ago, or because it didn't have that, you know, oh my god, we can't let them like kill her off, like why? Because that's basically how Clexa started. It was like, oh my god, Clark and Lisa, and then like how dare they, you know, and then let's make a convention, kind of like that's how I'm thinking it mm-hmm. came about. But yeah, do you feel like that because it was so long ago, it's kind of like, you know, out of our system in a way?
I mean, it could, you know, it could be that. It could be also that because there were so many other iconic like ships and different things that kind of came out, not necessarily at the same time, but had their runs. Like, because I mean, another big one, shoot, Person of Interest started in 2010, and then Shaw was introduced in 2012. Rue was introduced, you know, before her, but as far as like getting to like the shipping aspect of it, that was about 2013 ish, give or take. Which, you know, and then you had, you know, the Clexa situation was not too far after that. So I feel like it might have gotten, like you said, overshadowed a little bit, Lost Girl. And then another thing too was it was not shown in the United States either. Like the only way you could watch Lost Girl was like wasn't in syndication anyway, was the internet. You had to watch it on the internet. And then eventually it did move to the States, but it was on like WGN or something like that, which is, I won't say it's an obscure network here, but kind of is. And it just did not have the, I guess the boost, for lack of a better word, that some of the other shows that technically were aired in the United States and then aired everywhere. So mm-hmm. I think that, you know, had a play in it too. I think that's kind of how it is. I just feel like there should be more recognition for Bo. I mean, and there is a big following. Like, I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, it is, you know, a lot bigger than it was back in the day. But I just feel like, well, and then you had, you know, like Wynonna Earp. If you're, you know, an Emily Andrus fan, you know, yes, Lost Girl was, you know, that was her like her first like, you know, baby, for lack of a better term. And then you have Wynonna Earp. Well, Wynonna Earp was a little bit more successful. So, and that was a big thing. It had, you know, such a huge following. Still does. The show's not even on the air anymore, and it still has a really big following.
Yeah.
So, you know, I kind of think it kind of overshadows Lost Girl a little bit. And I think with Lost Girl, like the sci-fi genre, the supernatural genre that it fits in, because really and truly, like back then, the supernatural show that like everybody watched was Supernatural, which had been on the air for a billion years. And then like, you know, the Vampire Diaries and like all that stuff was out around that time too, I think. So a lot of people, I feel like with sci-fi, a lot of people started giving it more of a chance as more things started to come out that weren't the status quo of your typical drama or, you know, your super sci-fi stuff like, you know, Star Trek and Star Wars and all that stuff. So it's kind of in a weird spot, you know? And then once that kind of picked up, there was so much other content out there that I feel like it kind of got like left by the wayside. Cause really and truly, like fantasy type shows, because I think Game of Thrones came out in 2010, if I remember correctly, either 2010 or 2011. So you had that was a big show. So, you know, I feel like fantasy became more acceptable to watch after that show came out, because if you notice, you had more and more, you know, sci-fi based mainstream shows. Like you didn't have to have the Sci-Fi Channel because they were on other networks and stuff too.
Yeah.
At least here. I don't know about in Australia, but here, that's kind of how it was. Like if you watched a lot of sci-fi, you had the Sci-Fi Channel, and that's pretty much the only place you really watched, you know, fantasy type shows and like, you know, that kind of stuff. Was on that channel. And then to me, I feel like when Game of Thrones came out, then everybody kind of was like, okay, we got to get a fantasy show on our network. And so they started, you know, churning out a bunch of stuff. And then it kind of overshadowed what was going on with Lost Girl. So, you know, it happens. But I mean, I feel like we all have a great appreciation for Lost Girl and what it was. Because I love that show, man. Like, I recently, when I found out it got taken off of Netflix, I was devastated. And then I was like, well, where can I watch it? Yeah, it's not on Netflix anymore. I was like, where can I watch it? And apparently the CW, their app, you can watch it on their app now. I literally discovered that last night. So I was like, sweet, I need to.
All right, cool. So go out and watch it.
Right? Yeah. If you've never seen the show, it's definitely one that is worth your time because, you know, if you liked Wyatt Earp, you'll like the show. I feel like that's a fair assessment. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. It's a good one. Definitely. So total segue, but initially you were telling us what your favorite ships are. So we know you got, you know, tons of stuff for Grays, Docubus, of course.
Yeah.
What else you got?
Yeah. Well, because we watch, like, we have other shows here, but we, like, have Neighbours, which is our, like, staple, I'd say, like, our Bold and the Beautiful or our Young and Restless. Like, that's our kind of soap opera.
Is that, I know this one. So, fun fact, everybody out there in podcast land, I somehow or another always end up stumbling into, like, Australian soaps and, like, get hooked. Between Australian soaps and Mexican telenovelas, somehow or another, I end up in my YouTube, you know, adventures, I end up in Australian YouTube. And Neighbours, I actually know this one. Is that Charity and, or Chastity? And, help me out, Emma. I know it. I'll know it if I hear it.
I don't think it is the one you're thinking about.
No, okay. There's another, no, they're not Australian, they're British, I'm sorry. That's a different show. No, Neighbours is, I just recently watched this. It's that real tall blonde chick. Oh, crap.
So her character is Chloe.
Yes.
And so she was probably like, maybe the last 3 years, like the main, like probably token lesbian that's been on the show, because even though they do have the characters, they're not as like progressive. It's either they come on for, and then the person that was with them is now not they're back to men or whatever. So
typical soap opera.
But she is bisexual, which is cool. But she has like this standing relationship with this chick called Nicolette, and so they've been together not even a minute yet. And they've already like broken up and moved away and then come back. But drama is drama, right? But I really enjoy like her storylines. And like, if you do go on YouTube, you can go and check them out. And then we can go across the ocean to New Zealand. And mind you, like most of these, I actually just YouTube them because all I want to, obviously, if you're like me, all you want to do is just watch those relationships you really care about.
What yes.
is happening on the show.
That's fair. That's what we all do. Let's so, yeah. be honest.
Yeah. Yeah. So Shortland Street is another one. And
oh, that's Nicole, a good one.
And yeah, Nicole and Maeve. So I'm into, obviously, Nicole's been she's also bisexual, but she's long standing on that show. She has many, many relationships and many of, rabbit holes you can go down on YouTube.
What else you got? There, okay, so, and I'm pretty sure a lot of Americans know about this one. What are your feelings about Wentworth, the newer iteration of Wentworth, I guess, technically, right? Because wasn't Wentworth Prison a show before Wentworth of today? Was out, or is it a different show?
Yeah. Yes. It was a very old. It's basically they remade it, so it was okay. like a very old, like classic, like prison show, kind of like Bad Girls, if you will.
Oh my gosh, that was my jam! I loved that show. Oh my gosh!
I just rewatched some of the seasons, and so Wentworth was kind of like the Bad Girls, and the original Wentworth was like the Bad Girls, and then they came. And made Wentworth, kind of like Orange is the New Black. They've kind of, yeah. But no, I actually haven't watched Wentworth yet.
Hold up. Hold up. You have not seen Wentworth? Like at all? Like, you, like
no.
Like nothing? Like not even some shipping videos?
I have watched with the prison guard and the, yeah.
Okay, so.
I haven't actually watched.
Your homework. Is you need to watch Wentworth. And then we are going to have another discussion just clearly about Wentworth. Okay, I will say, in typical Ashley fashion, I did not watch the whole show. Okay, I watched up until a certain point. I won't tell you why.
Of course.
I won't tell you why because of spoilers. But I feel like when you get to that point, you'll know exactly why I stopped watching it. My sister still watches, like, I don't know if she's watched the most recent season that was out, like, last year or whatever, but she still watches it. And then I even got my cousin Sky, who doesn't really, like, she's more of, like, into, like, horror shows and movies and stuff. And I got her to watch it, and she actually really liked it. So, you need to watch Wentworth, because, okay. First of all, it is from your people. Second of all,
I know.
It is an amazing show. Like, now... I will say, Bad Girls, I think, is better than Wentworth, but Wentworth is still up there. Like, it's a close second. And the only reason why I will say Wentworth is a close second is because I feel like Bad Girls had a little bit of a better story, because you had so many characters that have different stories. Wentworth, you get the same thing, but for me, there wasn't any stories that I cared about outside of like the main like group that you follow, mainly two characters, whose stories I cared about. But Bad Girls, because you had like my favorite character was Yvonne, is it her name? She was like the female like drug Yvonne. Kingpin or something like that.
It's like the kingpin.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I loved her. She was my favorite character.
Crime family.
Yeah, and I was so sad. Sorry, spoiler alert. I was so sad when she died. Like, oh my gosh. I was devastated. I was like, you know what, Mr. Finner? Bruh. If I see you outside, we're gonna have some words, sir. Because, I was for sure, I thought for sure she was gonna get out. I was like, there's no way that they're going to have her go out like this. And they did. I was like, that is bollocks. And fuck you for doing that to my girl Yvonne, because she deserved better. Yeah. And Mr. Finner, like I said, if I caught him outside, like that dude, like there's only a handful. There's only like a handful of villains, like I said earlier, who you're just like,
oh, yeah,
you're just like, yo, dude, like you were just evil incarnate. Mr. Finner, that Joker, man, oh my gosh. Like, and if you watch Wentworth, there is another one on there who you will also have the same feelings about. And okay, but here's the thing. like Mr. Finner, he was just like evil, you know, good villain because he was just the epitome of evil, right? But with Wentworth,
yeah,
the villain for Wentworth, that when they get introduced, holy cow, like I was like, you know what, you gonna get on my short list of favorite villains that I have. Like, mind you, I hate their guts, and whatever happens to them by the end of the show, they deserve more times over. But I appreciate the, like, because like that character, like, girl, the villain for Wentworth is so incredibly manipulative, and like she, like, literally two steps ahead of everybody. And some of the stuff that she does, I'm gonna tell you, some of the stuff that she does is insane. Like, you're just like, how does she keep getting away with this crap? Like, oh my gosh, like, why is nobody realizing? Because she blackmails everybody. She's got dirt on every, like, it's just, it's crazy. Like, but it's so good. So you will not be disappointed. And that is definitely one you gotta give it a watch, man. Gotta give it a watch. It's just, oh.
All right. I shall.
So good.
I shall.
All right. So we got Bad Girls, which, again, honorable mention, great show. Yeah. You said Neighbors.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think if there are any ones that I know of besides. Because here's the thing, I may not know the names of the shows, but like, I know the characters better than I do the shows.
Okay. Maybe we could do a little game.
Right.
To say what it's about.
Yes. Trying to think. Other Australian ones have I seen lately? And here's the thing, like, I'm learning.
You don't really have that many.
Yeah, I'm learning the differences between like Australian accent and New Zealand accents. And like, so I'm trying to like think, okay, is that one from New Zealand or is that one from Australia? And then like, what's crazy is like, sometimes, and this is my American showing, but like sometimes like I'll watch something from, you know, the United Kingdom, and depending on, you know, what region of the country you're in, you know, the accent is kind of similar to your guys's, not by much, but if you're not really paying attention, it kind of sounds similar. So I'm like, okay, is that actually Australian or is that British? Like, oh my gosh. Again, it is my American showing, my bad. But that's the thing about YouTube. Like, you can just fall down. You just fall down a rabbit hole on YouTube,
yeah.
Like, you know, because even there'd be sometimes I get stuff that's not even in English.
Yeah, well, I fell down. Oh, my God. There was this one. I don't even know if it was Spanish or, but it was, it's called like The Stripper.
trying to think. Do I know that one?
Like, it is what it states it is. It's about a stripper, and she leads a double identity. But I'm really, like, I don't like subtitles. Like, I like, because it takes away from visually, like, you know, that's watching. Fair. But this one, I watched subtitles.
Ooh, a good one.
Anyway, yeah, it's called the Stripper.
The Stripper, okay. A good one is, I mean, you might have seen this one because it got kind of popular. Is it Amala Moore? It's Juliatina is the ship. I'm trying to think of the name of the show. The show is actually pretty good. Like, it's a little outlandish, but it's a telenovela, so it makes sense in that sense. But it's actually pretty good.
Is it, like, a subtitles or?
It isn't. It does have subtitles. I'm trying to think. There is a few videos on YouTube that are dubbed over in English.
Sorry.
I'm trying to think.
I missed that.
Oh. I think there's a few videos that are dubbed over in English, but they may or may not be on YouTube anymore. So, and, you know, it's always a toss up, you know, with YouTube, because they're like, oh, it's copyright infringement or something. But Juliatina was a good one. I know you don't like reading subtitles, but definitely worth it, because the story, like, here's the thing, like, okay. I don't mind subtitles if I'm able to follow what's going on, not necessarily having to read the subtitles. You know, like, you kind of fill in the blanks of what's happening based off of, you know, the visual story that's occurring. And Juliatina is one of those where it is, you don't necessarily have to know what they're saying to kind of get the visual of what is going on. But that's a good one. If you haven't seen that one, that one's pretty good. And there's quite a few videos on there. They were supposed to make a movie, but you know, then COVID hit and, you know, everything kind of came to a screeching halt for a lot of stuff. So I don't know where the status is on that, but the show, and then like the show itself, it's
it wasn't Girl Gets Girl. It wasn't Girl Gets Girl, was it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. So
is it?
The basic premise, without kind of spoiling everything, is so you have, you know, you have the main plot, which is a assassin and a rich man both die, and they end up in each other's bodies. They're basically like a body swap, essentially. The assassin, well, kind of. So the assassin ends up in the body of some other dude, and then the father, the rich man, he ends up in the body of the assassin. And so the assassin had a daughter and the rich man had a daughter. And just by like fate, basically, they meet. And then it kind of goes from there. But the main plot of the story is the assassin is trying to basically navigate his situation in this body that is, you know, not the one that he was. Because like the assassin's good looking and, you know, all that jazz.
Yeah,
and then he's in the body of a man that's not that good looking, and then the assassin's body is now host to like a 50 something year old man who is rich, and the dad, so the rich man, he's trying to infiltrate his family, so his family is kind of messed up, you know, typical rich people problems, I guess, but and so he infiltrates the family by becoming like a bodyguard. And so you see him like trying to build relationships with his kids and like kind of seeing all the stuff that they've gone through that he just never noticed before or whatever, and be a part of his family, even though they don't know that he body swapped with somebody. Eventually they find out, but.
So wait, what is this called again?
I'm gonna see if I can Google it, but the ship is Juliatina.
But I have to say, like, there is a lot of, like, subtitled content that is actually pretty good. Like, I know there's one, I think, from the Philippines, and it's called Rich Man's Daughter.
And I haven't heard about that one.
They do speak English, obviously, some words in English. But, I really enjoyed that as well. And that goes on for a lot. And, again, I'm only watching certain content.
Yeah.
Certain content from that. Yeah. From that show, but it's all surrounding like the two women that are in it. So, that was pretty good.
What makes my day is
something that
What makes my day when I like go on YouTube and like they do like one giant video, so it's essentially like, you know, almost like an hour and a half if you're lucky, an hour and a half to, well, I would say like anywhere from like 20 minutes to an hour. I think an hour and a half is the longest I've ever seen. That's like the best thing. It's like finding, you know, gold at the end of the rainbow. It's like when you find it all mashed together, so you don't have to like, because like sometimes people will put it in a playlist, so you just hit play and then it just, you know, keeps rolling. But then sometimes like they don't put in a playlist, so you have to kind of jump around and try to find, you know, all the different clips and all that stuff. And that gets a little tedious after a while, so I definitely appreciate it when they put it in,
being a private detective.
Yeah, right. Like you literally have to go searching for all the stuff. But cool. Okay. I'm gonna give that one a try. You said the poor man's daughter, what is it called?
Rich man's daughter, yeah.
Rich man's daughter. Okay. You said it's in the Philippines, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, you know, I'm gonna give that one a shot. I'm trying to think, is there anything else you could think of you wanna cover? I mean,
so I have this one, you know, like those series or those movies that you watch, like they're your go-to that you watch like all the time. It could be like you're not in the mood to watch anything else, and you're just like, I just want to watch that again. So I have a movie of that, but it's the Moulin Rouge. I love the Moulin Rouge, and I love some badass girls kicking ass in Charlie's Angels 2.
Charlie's Angels 2 was legit.
I do like, I should make a third one, but anyway, there's one series that I really love watching. It's a comedy. I don't know if you ever watched it, but it was out maybe over five years ago or something. But it's called One Big Happy.
It sounds familiar.
Did you ever watch that?
What's it about? Oh.
So it's about, so they're basically, she's a lesbian, he's a straight man, and they decide to have a baby, but then he meets the love of his life. And so you just go along like their little, you know, of them being in like a, you know, having a baby, then he meets someone else. And so they're like almost like a throuple, but without being a throuple.
Yeah. One big
do
happy.
With it. Huh. One big happy. Yeah. But I really enjoy it. It's really funny. And it's that funny, like innuendo-y funny, like. Mm-hmm. That other people might not necessarily get, but you do. you know when you were younger and you're like, you watch a show and you're like, oh my God, like they're like me and I see what's going on here, but then everyone else around you, you're like, they don't understand what's happening right now. And you have like this little bit of a giggle and you're like, oh, the same as we do now. I do now. I'm like giggling at people like, oh my God, are they going to get this? Oh my God.
I mean, I feel like that's what TV and movies is like supposed to be about. Like, yes, it invokes a different emotion. It should be your escape and like being able to have that like giddy, footloose and fancy free, you know, type feeling. Because like, I mean, I do that too. We all do. And if people say that they don't, they're full of crap because everybody has that like squee, you know, type moment.
Yeah.
You know, like it's just, I mean, it is what it is, you know, so.
Yeah, but that show One Big Happy, like, it only goes for like six episodes, but I just really enjoy it. It's really good.
Oh, okay. What does it stream on, or what is it?
I have no idea. It's on most streaming sites if you just type it in.
Yeah. It's probably. I feel like I want to say it's on Amazon here. For some reason, I feel like I've heard of this show before, and I want to say it's on Amazon. Well, my friend, I appreciate so much for you doing this with me, because like I said, I didn't want to talk to myself. And we always plan to do this anyway. So it kind of like worked out. You had time and we were able to figure out the whole time zone situation. But yeah, I mean, I feel like you had fun. I feel like I'm fun.
I did. I feel like I hopefully contributed something for you.
I mean, honestly, like I said, we talk like that. That's the main thing. Like, I, you know, some podcasts, they are, you know, a lot better than ours and they have, you know, formats and all this stuff. But honestly, our podcast is two friends just talking about the things they enjoy. So, and we're two friends that just happen to talk about things we enjoy. So same thing. It just went along with our normal premise. So, but yeah, I appreciate you helping me out, dear Emma. So
thank you for having me.
Of course. And we're definitely going to have you again because you brought a lot of insights. So you're a lot deeper than me and Annette. So it's like you brought in some stuff. I'm like, yo, I didn't know she was going to go that deep. Okay, Zen Master. But if you could be so kind and tell the people, because you guys, let me tell you, I've seen this girl fight and you definitely want to check her out. You will not be disappointed. I watched her. Take this chick out in like 27 seconds. Funny story, my sister was super pissed that we stayed up so late and Emma took this chick out in 27 seconds. And she was like, wait, that's it? And like, I was like, yeah, dude, that's it. She's like, we stayed up all night. She's like, can you tell your friend to make sure it lasts a little bit longer next time? Like, that would be very appreciated. And I was like, that's not how it works, but I was like, we want a quick in. Like, we wanted her to get in, get out, be done with it, you know? Definitely, people, if you are an MMA fan, you're a fighting fan, martial arts fan, definitely check my girl Emma out. Emma, what's your socials? Your socials, good God.
I've got, I'll just wait till it unfreezes. Yeah, so you can get me on Instagram, Emma V Ryan, and then just on Facebook, it's just Emma Von Ryan. Yeah. Cool. Add me if you like, chat to me.
I mean, you know, like I said, she's cool. So she's, you know, we give her a stamp of approval and just in general, she's a really great friend. So, you know, check her, like I said, check out her fights, you know, see what she's up to. I know the world's a little crazy right now, so we don't know exactly what all is going to happen, but, if you see her, if we, at some point end up back at Klexicon together, which we will. Definitely, you know, I'm friendly. Annette's friendly. You obviously know that. If you're listening to this, Emma's super friendly. You know, we always like taking in new people. So we'll see what happens in the near future. But so for our stuff, as always, you can find us at the on Instagram, Twitter. We started TikTok. Not that much there right now because I'm the one running it. And Annette is the better social media person than I am. So, but you can find us on pretty much every social except for Facebook at I Can Ship Pod. Also, you know, episodes, we're on pretty much any major streaming podcast app, Podcast Addict, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever tickles your fancy. You can find us there, I Can Ship Pod. But that's going to do it for us today. Again, Emma, thank you so much for joining us. This is the I Can Ship Pod. I'm Ashley. Hopefully we can get Annette again. She's like I said, she's been super, super busy. But if not, you will be hearing from me again. And Annette will be coming back soon. So thank you so much for your time. How do you know, man?